Welcome to the Swim Swam Podcast. I'm your host, Coleman Hodges. Joining us today, Commonwealth Games silver medalist in the 1500 freestyle. He is the first Irishman to ever own a European record. He set that just last week in the men's 800 freestyle, ranking him number four all time on the performers list for the short course meter and freestyle. Today, we're sitting down with Daniel Whiffen. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Well, excited to talk. I got to meet you in May when I visited Loughborough, and I got to see you and Felix Albach go head to head in quite a few training sessions, and it was super cool. We went to the Mare Nostrum meet in Barcelona after that, and since then you've just taken off. You told me at the time that it's like, you know, I'm ready for a big step, and it seems like you've taken at least one big step. You won that medal at comms this past summer, and then you had yourself quite a big meet at the Swim Ireland Championships just last week. First off, why did you not go to the Short Course World Championships? Why did you opt for this championships instead?
So obviously the world champs are in Melbourne in Australia. Me and my coach Andy sat down at the start of the season. Was basically we were like, we're more focusing on the long course season. So we're just going to not go to the world championships and just focus on training instead and get a good aerobic block in.
Nice. So then heading into these Irish championships, did you have goals or specific goals rather?
Well, the week before, so I wasn't actually going to rest for the meets. And then I did Scottish short course the week before Irish. And then I maybe had a week of rest going into it. And I did a 400 IM, just never done it before. Just went and swam it, broke the national record. And then I did a 1500 where I went 14:14. So I think that's like sixth fastest all time. So coming into Irish off the back of that, I was like, oh, I could do something special. And then obviously swam the 800 European record on the first day.
Tell me about that race. Can you take me through it, how you felt leading up to it and your thoughts on it after everything and kind of sunken in?
So leading up to it, I wasn't sure how fast I was going to be because of obviously racing the week before, and sometimes double racing with like a couple of days in between doesn't really work. But I rocked up, had a good warm up. I mean, I guess warm up kind of sets the mood for the what you think your race is going to be like. And then went into the race I had like a kind of goal time of 7:25 in my head. I did tell some of my friends in Loughborough that, I might have a go at that. And then, the race was pretty good. I was pretty happy with how I executed it. I think that it felt quite slow when I was in the race. You know what I mean? I think I went in slow motion and I didn't really think I was going that fast. Then post-race feeling, obviously very happy. And it was nice to do it in Dublin when everybody was there to watch me, a home crowd.
Yeah. So you weren't focusing on short course meters, but you went three best, pretty big best times, broke three national records. Is there any incentive to break a national record for you financially? Like, do you get paid at all when that happens? I've always wondered that with most athletes.
Not from our governing body, but I mean, like sponsors, I get like a little bonus for breaking a national record.
Which you're sponsored by Finis?
Finis, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so that's pretty nice. So you broke three national records on the weekend.
Yeah.
Was it hard at all watching Short Course Worlds, knowing that those times you put up in the 8 and the 15 would have won you world titles?
I mean, I wasn't actually watching Short Course Worlds. I think it was on every time while I was training, because I train at 9 o'clock in the morning and the day, some of the days. So I didn't really get to watch the races. But I mean, I wouldn't say it's annoying. I mean, I was happy with my decision not to go. I didn't really want to do that travel to Australia, because anything could have happened. I could have got sick, or I'm guessing Ireland, if they went, wouldn't have sent us on a pre-camp for a short course meet. Yeah, I guess it doesn't really bother me that I would have won world champs.
That's a very realistic answer, and I appreciate that. Well, cool. So then now you're going home for a little bit of a holiday, and then you've got a training block. Tell me about what training has been like for the past few weeks for you in Loughborough.
Yeah, so I've said this is probably my best block kind of a training I've ever done. We started off the very start of September, first week in, and then we have our pre-season training, which is a lot of fun. We do weird stuff like press-ups, get out, do some press-ups, get back in, stuff like that. And we're all the Loughborough swimming squad together, so there's like 70 people swimming all in one pool, which is quite fun. And then we break off into our own groups, and then we went to the Berlin World Cup. It was our first meet, and then that was okay for me. I think I got a PB there, and then I went straight into altitude training in Sierra Nevada, which is my third time going. And I honestly really think it helps me. I come back down feeling really good, but it does take me a bit to adapt. I mean, my first meet back is always quite slow. And then 3 weeks after, which was probably around the Scottish and Irish competitions, is when I'm at my peak from altitude. So yeah, it's been going well training.
As a distance swimmer, what is your favorite kind of training to do? You know, are you someone who would go 800s, or would you someone that would go 800s pace? Like a favorite set that you have?
Oh, my favorite set. A favorite set I've ever done.
Favorite set, or just style of training, really.
I love heart rate sessions. I mean, everybody does those 3100s, so I love them. Really gets you like into it. We also do like a 3000 for time. I mean, I'm kind of like either end of the spectrum of distances. I kind of like everything. I just like to go fast, to be honest.
Anything fast. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
And then. Once again, your coach is Andy, and I got to meet him and film you guys' sessions for a few days. Andy's very methodical, and he's very thoughtful in his training and what he does. When did you get to Loughborough?
I joined, this is my third year, so in 2020, September.
Okay. And so what do you feel like has gone so well for you, or clicked so well with the training that you do with Andy?
I think Andy's like very individualizing. Like, he will individually like give you different sets, and also our training group. I mean, you mentioned I trained with Felix, previous world champion of 400 freestyle. I guess our group is just pretty good to train with, and it kind of pushes you on.
Yeah. Did you have training partners like that before you got to Loughborough at all?
No, I'm not near that standard. No, I mean, I have people around the same age as me in Ireland, but I like nobody making a world champs.
Mm-hmm. What originally pushed you to have higher standards or goals outside of just maybe swimming in Ireland?
I like to set quite high targets for myself. I never really am satisfied after my races, because I always want more. I think my coach, when I was younger, always like kind of embraced that, to always aim high and dream big. And I guess that's what pushes me to go even faster.
Yeah. And how do you feel like your standards have been risen at Loughborough, again, with the coach that you have and the training partners that you do?
So I think for a good example is that in Ireland, if I was to train in Ireland, I'd probably be one of the best in the pool, well, the best in the pool maybe, but in Loughborough, I'm probably not even top three. I don't know. It's people can decide that. But because I'm training with world champions, world record holders, and yeah, it's just like a different environment because you always got to work harder to be the best. And yeah.
So then after this slew of Scottish and Ireland championships, does that change your goals heading into the long course season at all?
I don't think so. I think my goal has always been for the long, for this season, long course, is to try to get on the podium at World Champs. I think it's still going to stay the same. And then I think as well, the next short course, I want to try to get that 800 world record too.
How big of a target is that? I mean, we've just been talking about it a lot because it's one of the oldest in the books. You know, Grant Hackett's, and you know, people have kind of gotten close to it, but it's, you know, it's been pretty much untouched for the last 14 years.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's. I mean, it's like a maybe just under 2 seconds to around 2 second drop for me. And well, I mean, if I continue the rate I'm going, I guess that a 2 second drop wouldn't be that bad. But I think that I think it's definitely doable. I'm not sure what short course meet is in next year. I think it might be a European short course. I feel like that is going to be the race where every European athlete is going to be there to bring. Somebody will it'll take to win that race will take the world record. I reckon.
We'll check back in a year, and hopefully someone's broken it, and hopefully it's you. So you want to get on the podium this summer. Obviously, you made your first big international podium last summer. Can you kind of walk me through that and how you felt and ended up on that podium at Commonwealth Games in the 1500?
Commonwealth Games. It was the 1500. I saw my time of 14:51. To be honest, I think to make the podium in Commonwealth Games in the 1500 wasn't that going to be that tough, especially because one of the main people, Daniel Jervis, pulled out because of COVID. So it really just left me and the Australian to like kind of battle out of who was going to win. And sadly, my race plan didn't go to it didn't go the way I wanted it to go, so I got the silver medal. But as you said, it's my first international medal, and yeah, it was pretty cool, to be honest. I've first time standing on the podium and seeing the Northern Irish flag being raised, so yeah, definitely life-changing.
In what way was that life-changing?
I mean, I think it was the first time an able-bodied swimmer had won a medal at Commonwealth, so I think that made a big impact on me. And then also just being in the arena full of, well, it's basically a home games to me, the closest I'll get being in Birmingham. So it's only like a 40-minute flight away from Northern Ireland. And I mean, all my friends from Loughborough and my family were there. So it made it even more special.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a really special moment. What was your race plan heading into that 1500, and what didn't go exactly to plan?
So my race plan was to, as most distance swimmers have, just assess it out first 500 meters and then probably hold on, have a little bit of a lead and then push on 800 to 1000 around there. But I think I got a bit too excited and I decided to just go for it from 500 meters in. And that kind of backfired when I got to about 1000 meters because I was basically burnt out.
Gotcha. That's which I feel like we've all had that race in some regard or degree of all right, I'm really feeling this, I'm just gonna go for it, and then yeah, the finishing meters don't go as well as we might have hoped. What do you feel like you took away from that experience as a whole, just going to that Commonwealth Games period?
So the Commonwealth Games was my like kind of second games I've ever been to. So it was I was a bit more prepared going into it, unlike when I went to the Olympics. But the village was pretty cool. I just really enjoyed the whole experience at the games, and also I was with some of my. I mean, I grew up my roommate was basically somebody I'd known for over 10 years. So it was kind of cool that we were there together. And then I guess that the just being in Birmingham made it a lot better as well.
Yeah. Tell me about the Olympic Games. What was that experience like as that being your first games?
Yeah, it was also probably my first senior international, like big one. I did Europeans before, but I wasn't rested for it. I just did it as like a swim meet, basically, through my training up to the Olympics. But yeah, I mean, it was obviously amazing to be there to start with. It was in Japan, first time ever going there. I had a nice long flight as well. And then the village was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I mean, it's so, there's just so many people. And then the arena as well, the pool. I mean, with no crowd being there, obviously it's a different experience, but I'd say it was still pretty loud. I mean, I could hear my teammates, which you probably wouldn't be able to hear if there was crowds, but it was kind of nice. And then I remember walking out into it and just I was quite nervous, as I think most people would be, but just getting like surrounded by this massive, like I call it, like, it's basically like a basketball arena, to be honest, for with a pool inside.
Do you have a, was there a favorite part of that experience in Tokyo for you, or a favorite memory that you really carried?
I think the best memory, I think my, well, the memory I can remember clearly was when we all walked into our rooms in the village, and we just, because it was most of our first experiences, we walk in and you just see the, like, where you're staying for probably the next week or 2 weeks. And yeah, obviously you get all the free stuff as well, which is kind of cool.
Dude, I want to be an athlete so bad just to get the free stuff. Seems like such a great perk and benefit. So you've had these international experiences now. You're moving forward into these world championships. What does the next couple months look like for you?
So take a little, well, not really time off. I'll still be training over Christmas, but a little bit more laid back. Then January 5th, going to altitude again in Sierra Nevada, and then straight into the Luxembourg Euro meet after that, which will be exciting to race off. I've never done a race like coming straight from altitude, so that'll be good. And I think some of the, like, I think Romanchuk is there as well at the Euro meet, so it'll be nice to race him long course, see how I'm. Let's see if I can keep up. And then I think after that, we got a little bit of a break of competitions until we go for our British universities meet, which is like NCAAs, but not as stacked. That's how I describe it. Then we've got some international meets, and then I go back for Irish trials, but I've already pre-qualified for Worlds, so it'll just be a kind of show my fitness there to the governing body. And then I think I'll head to Stockholm, because that's, went there last year, and it was very, I thought it helped me a lot, because I got to race the German distance group of like Florian Welbrock and Luca Mertens, and now Romanchuk as well has joined them. So get to race them, which is kind of fun, because I, you know, well, I haven't raced them that many times. So, and the more times I race them, the more comfortable it gets. And then and then that's really all I think of. Probably another couple more training camps, and then we go to our pre-camp at for World Champs.
Do you know where pre-camp will be?
I'm not sure where. I'm going to guess it's going to be pretty close to Fukuoka, but I'm not sure. I know we're leaving like around the 12th of July, which is kind of sad, because my birthday is on the 14th of July, so I always have my birthday on pre-camps in the summer.
That is kind of sad. Yeah. I'm sorry. Hopefully you'll get to do something fun though. Whether that's 3100s or eating cake, but it sounds like you've got a good slate of racing going into this season. Outside of the pool, or I guess you kind of do this inside the pool as well, but you have a vlog. Really cool YouTube channel, which you put out videos pretty regularly. How did, you know, which we've seen more and more swimmers start to do. Why was this an interest for you, and how did you get started doing it?
So I started doing it in lockdown, and then I stopped posting for like a year after that. But yeah, it was basically because I was bored in lockdown. I wanted to just film and document basically what I was doing. And then, I'm putting out weekly videos now every week, because I think a lot of people are showing a lot of interest in it and want to know what I'm doing. So I think it's kind of fun as well. I can look back on it too and see what I did when I was younger, basically, when I'm about like 40, 50. And then I think that I just really enjoy making the videos. I mean, some of them, that I guess it's just me showing what I do in the week, which is obviously like the same for me but I mean, to other people, it kind of maybe inspires them as well. I know a lot of Irish athletes are now saying that they love that. Somebody came up to me at the weekend and was like, I just love watching your videos and we've been trying your sessions.
I wonder how other people do with your training. Do they tell you how they do?
they just said we tried it.
I'm guessing maybe it might have been left at that. This vlog's pretty cool. You can check it out. Your YouTube channel is Whiff and Twins, correct?
Yeah.
Whiff and Twins, because you have a twin brother. I'm not clear on this one. Does he also swim?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Okay. Where does he swim?
He swims in Loughborough too. He's just in the squad below me at the moment. He's pulling it through, to be honest. I think he was the second fastest Irishman ever in the 1500 there. Went 14:57, so two twins that break 15 minutes in the 1500. It's pretty cool.
No kidding. That has to be a world record in itself. okay, that's awesome. What's your twin's name?
Nathan.
Nathan, okay. So I'll have to meet Nathan next time I'm in Loughborough, but that's super exciting. And so do you guys vlog together or is it mostly you?
I think it's mostly me that put like vlogs. If we're together, like I'm altitude camps, we'll be doing the same training, so we'll vlog together. But maybe we need to get Nathan on some more videos.
Gotcha. That seems like a really really unique lens to go through swimming. I think we hear a lot about swim siblings, but not necessarily about swim twins, especially who swim similar events.
We want to be the first twins to go to the Olympics in the 1500.
Ooh. So what would you have to hit? So does that mean you'd both have to hit the A cut? Which is what?
I think it for the Olympics it's 15 minutes.
Okay.
Or we could do it in the 800 too, which is 7:51.
Okay, gotcha. That would be pretty awesome. You guys have some time, so hopefully you can make that happen. Are you guys, is he qualified for world championships as well?
No, to qualify for world championships, she had to get the FINA A cut at either Commonwealth or the European championships. I think only two people from Ireland have been pre-selected. And then if you didn't get pre-selected, then you can go for the FINA A cut at Irish Trials in April.
Okay. So is that what he'll do?
That's what he'll do, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Ooh, so this is a fun storyline that we can continue to follow. Nice. well, Daniel, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and chat. Are you training today?
I just finished training, so it's like 7:30 for me. We trained this morning, had a nice race pace set, me and Felix together, and then just had a nice recovery swim out tonight.
Nice. How did the race pace set go?
Yeah, it's okay. It was our like first big race pace block of the our season. So it was hard. I think we did okay. But Andy seemed pretty happy. So
when I was there, you guys suited up once. Do you guys suit up in practice pretty often?
We probably don't suit up. We don't suit up until maybe. But definitely before 2 weeks out from a meet, we'll probably suit up a couple of times. But then I'd say around when you came in May is probably when we're suiting up for every session. But before that, we don't really suit up at all.
Interesting. Okay. That's pretty cool to hear. Just because I think like in the US, I feel like it's becoming more common for a lot of college programs to wear suits like once or twice a week, just kind of normally. And so it's kind of, that's a different way of doing it, which is cool. How do you feel about wearing racing suits in practice?
Obviously they make your times faster because your hips are sitting higher. So it makes it a lot easier to swim faster. I mean, at the start of the season, I don't think you really need to wear them. I think that you're probably not in the shape that you're going to be at the end of the season. So it's, I guess you don't want to be swimming that quick because you just want to be grinding out the meters. And I think that's why it works out well that we wear them towards the end of the season when we're starting to feel quick.
Yeah. Well, again, Daniel, I appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk. Any parting thoughts before we sign off today for our audience?
You can check out my YouTube channel if you want, and thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Swim Swam Podcast. Stay tuned for new episodes every week. You can take Swim Swam Podcast on the go by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Look for links in the description below, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more videos as well.